Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast. Say again?
Is it your first time here today?
It feels like my first day.
Yeah,
because I've not been like.
Why don't you want to be on this episode?
Wow, you've really put me on the spot here, haven't you?
Because it's like, this is the episode where we're talking, highlighting some of the best and some of our favourite Black British actors. I thought this would be the kind of episode you'd like to be on.
Yeah. Like, you love Idris Elba.
European. So I thought you'd be loving.
I thought this might be you know, as a fellow Black, might be of interest.
As a fellow European.
Did your German side just come out?
Do you know what? Manny said the exact same thing.
Because he's not Black British.
Oh, you're not.
Maybe because we're not, we're not pop culture, so.
Pop culture.
Yeah, you're not cultural insane. Enough for me. I think that's the. That's the.
Case. The culture you're referring to is.
Now, if it was Black American, he would have done it.
No, I think if it was Black American,
it's just because would have done it.
Where I don't know any white British actors either. I don't know any British per se.
What do you mean? That's absolutely nonsense.
I mean, obviously, no. I mean, same with Black British actors. I know them, but like, I don't necessarily have a
opinion on Black people.
Opinion on British people. In general,
that's a cop out.
It's not a cop out because we could have done this for white British actors.
I promise you, when we go through some, because this isn't like, it's not like catch you out. This is, you're going to be like, I could have done this. I promise you, you'll see.
Maybe, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, one British actor that we might talk about, I don't even like.
Also, wait, Jace, why are we doing this episode now?
What do you mean, why?
But,
oh, because it's Black History Month.
Thought it'd be fitting for you as a fellow, but you know,
yeah, this month was made.
I've done my bit.
What? What was your bit?
Huh? Being Black.
Being Black, I'm part of history. I am the history.
It is me.
And that probably is the segue into our intro. You've heard this one before. We are the Post Credit Scene podcast.
Yes, sir.
A 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV, and theatre, which is the addition to the 2025 intro. We haven't added anime just yet. I don't think it's met the grade just yet, but maybe, you never know, it might change.
I think you're just stepping.
It's not met the grade because you guys actively keep blocking.
It was
that
in
road.
TV. It's in the TV term of the title for sure. Yeah, you know I mean,
and anime can be movies as well, right? Anime also fits into movies. So
hell yeah, exactly.
It's a,
you guys should.
It's a repressive state.
You know what? You lot don't even campaign enough to do your own anime stuff. You lot don't actually care.
It's true. And that anime episode was very well received. It was.
That's a real hate, guys. That's a real hate.
It was.
Nah, it's pretend hate, you know, like for the sake of the cameras.
But when we met the fan, that's the episode I think that she brought up.
Do you know, Loki,
but wait, who's
this person?
And how did they not know that Jason was there?
I don't know her name.
Yeah,
but there was like multiple fans. Not like multiple, it was like at least three.
Yeah, I was saying.
Come on, dude.
People actually bring up the pod a lot more than you guys. Well, I'm sure we might all have the same experience, but people bring up the pod a lot more than you'd realize.
Do you still act shocked? I'm shocked every time.
No, I just embrace it.
I think he means that more as an expression than acting.
Oh, yeah, this
you know, I know what you're saying, but this is lingo. Just don't mean it as in like as actually acted. He means it like
no,
oh, wow.
Just embrace it for what it is, man. Yeah. And just people tell us why they like the pod, which they do.
I find it weird. I can't lie to you. Not like a bad weird thing. Oh, really? Why?
Oh, it's just
time. But I think I'm like that with most things, with any sort of compliment. So why?
Yeah.
No, I don't say why. I'm thinking ahead. Why?
Yeah, that's weird. Outtake Lot said Basola was a great addition. I was like, yeah, she's a woman. Diversity quota.
Well done for that. Oh, we're playing it. I was going to say, by the way,
she ticks a box.
In general, to anime. I'm not an anime guy, but I've been getting into it. I can't lie. It's actually.
Of course it is. It's just time.
Right? Yeah, no. That's the thing is, there are certain ones that I get recommended. I look at the amount of episodes. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, you watch a lot of TV.
What extra TV show?
It's not even that. That's the thing, though.
What is it not?
It's a commitment.
It's a TV show. Just watch a TV show.
I will say. I just want to add this real quick.
We both got a mic.
With anime, it's like, it should be an easier commitment because the episodes are 20 minutes long.
20 minutes of my life to work.
Here's the thing, though. It's not a 20-minute commitment because it's like 1,000 episodes. It's like
literally one anime.
And that's the exact one that everyone's like, yeah.
No. You will rarely meet people that will recommend.
That's cap.
You'll rarely meet people that recommend for someone to watch One Piece as the first anime.
No, so I'm like, people who recommend me shows know that I love upper echelon stuff in general in it. Right?
Just say you're a snob.
let's
I have fine taste.
Bro said upper echelon, you know.
So I have quite a unique taste.
I would
taste.
Never recommend One Piece as a first time watch.
Man said I like ever. Better movies and TV shows than you guys.
He's putting words in my mouth.
If you're reading it, fair enough, but I would never recommend One Piece.
So the ones I have been watching is Fullmetal Alchemist.
Brotherhood.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to watch Demon Slayer because I thought the movie's very good.
Fuck that, bro.
Apparently it's good though.
Yeah.
It's a good intro.
Yeah, it is.
The series or the film that's came out?
I'm going to die series, on the hill that Demon Slayer, it is so mid. Animation, absolutely amazing. Storytelling. Do you know what it is? If you haven't watched anime, you might like it. Because you haven't been introduced to the tropes of
shonen.
But
that's the point. That's why it's a good intro anime. It's like, okay, it's almost baby's first anime.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've also heard that Solo Leveling.
Solo Leveling's mid. I enjoy Solo Leveling, but like if we want to talk about mid shows,
you say Solo Leveling.
Come on, man.
I haven't watched it. I heard it's good.
It's so mid.
Not the manga. What's it called?
Guys is so bored right now. It's crazy.
The webtoon again is mid.
Really? He's like, when they go, shut the.
the Demon Slayer, I will keep telling people that's not if you come out Demon Slayer, I think this is elite anime, you're missing out.
Well, I know the type of person you are. If that is your go anime, I'll say that much.
Yeah, if Demon Slayer is your go anime, we have nothing to talk about.
Okay.
So, black British actors.
Guys,
question for you, Manny. What's been your most interesting interaction about the pod?
Most interesting interaction about the pod outside of the pod. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be anything like a specific one, but just like generally speaking, the sentiments you get when people speak to you about the pod.
That's another question.
Someone brought up the pod recently. So, I just really like what you guys are doing. I think I get that quite a lot. It's like, oh, it's nice to see you guys talking about stuff that you love, stuff that you're passionate about. I went to watch X because you guys talked about it.
Those comments are super nice.
So somebody recently sent me, I asked them, oh, so what do you have in your list? And they sent me like a bunch of Instagram saves that they had, or these ones. And like two of them were from us. So yeah, so those things are nice. Those things are nice.
How about you, Hus?
My favorite interaction was last year when we spoke to somebody piano lesson, and they were like, no, sorry, that was actually a dope interaction, but no, there was one start of this year in like February. I forgot what the guy's name is, I'm so sorry, okay, but he came up to me at a screening and said that his whole Christmas they were watching like a bunch of films and used our end of year rankings of what films to watch, and I was like, that's freaking sick. I was like that is so sick, man. And so yeah, so like that was like super nice. And then I'd say the best like just like compliment and stuff is like what it's just kind of like showing like the overall love, or when somebody like specifically talks about an episode, that's super nice as well. Like the one that, like the girl that forgot you were on the pod.
Oh yeah,
Jace.
Oh, so
somebody else. I'll let you continue.
No, go on.
My brother's like, oh yeah, you guys are so sick on the pod. And then she started listening out everybody in the pod. He's like, yeah, and Jason as well. Who's that? Jace. Like he's a full member. And this was before you saw the joint.
You're lying. Boy, but to be fair, at that point you were part time though. Because you were on the moon, fam.
When was that interaction?
Two years ago. At least
I think about 2 years ago. Definitely, okay, it was definitely fair. Over a year ago. I think it was before Bisola was officially on the pod.
Okay, I can see that.
Season four has been...
That interaction that we're talking about
was three weeks ago.
At the One Battle After Another.
One Battle After Another, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Manny!
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. He doesn't like the movie like you guys, and I like that. I'm quite happy. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there.
What, One Battle After
okay,
Another?
Okay, because...
I didn't love the film.
You gave it a four. You liked
it. You gave it a four.
I think I'm a five.
It's on his level.
Yeah, I like it a lot, but I think I might have to go to 3.5 after thinking of...
That's not bad.
after thinking of Killers of the Flower Moon, thinking, I don't think I'll have it above Killers.
It's better than Killers.
I don't think it is.
It's one of the best films of the generation.
Okay, chill out, man. Okay,
if that's what you want to believe, then you believe that.
Do you remember when we done our end of year ranking? Okay, I was like, Killers was very, very, very good, but when I got to like to January, for me, it's got no replay value at all. Which I know it's not important every single time, but for that, like, it just doesn't. And the story was too long. It was way the film was way too long. Whereas like this film was equally as long,
but like an hour and a half.
I could have done with like 20 minutes more.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Fair enough.
For sure.
All your issues I could have predicted as well.
Yeah,
I could have literally predicted every single issue that you had.
Yeah,
every single one.
Why do you think you know me, bro?
No, because
what do you know me from?
Because I had the same issues, and I mentioned them on the pod.
I haven't finished listening to the pod because obviously I didn't listen to it before.
Of course, yeah.
Watch the film. I started listening to it the other day, but I'm like 20 minutes in. So yeah, I didn't love the film. I like it a lot. I think there's a lot of great things in it. Like, I think Leonardo DiCaprio is Leonardo DiCaprio. He's always going to cook.
Yeah, he cooks.
The film really shot real well. I think I mentioned in my review, the film brings up like quite a lot of themes and ideas and issues, but it doesn't critique it or analyze it in any meaningful way. It's like,
does it have to?
Huh?
Does it have to?
Yes.
If that's going to be a big part of your film, yes, you have to critique it and analyze it in some way. You can't just throw a bunch of ideas and concept at me and then just leave it up into the air.
Listen, that's
poor writing.
That is
poor writing.
He's got a point.
Poor writing. I don't know what you look at me. And you know it is because you can't tell me somebody goes watch a film. Oh, from the beginning of the film, the director or writer brings up X amount of concept, X amount of themes, and it's layered throughout the film, but it's never critiqued. It's never analysed.
But you don't think it's critiqued?
Not really. How is it critiqued? Tell me how it's critiqued.
So what? Name a thing that you think was critiqued.
No, so the issue with the detention sentence.
Like British actors, by the way.
It's brought up, but it's not critiqued in the sense of why pivot. That's an issue.
No, you know, by the way, that's the one that...
There's no pivot.
Black women being overly sexualised in the film is not necessarily critiqued as to why that's an issue. The thing that he done probably the best ish was the lens of white supremacy by showcasing how much power they actually have in terms of like they can just get anybody to come in and off you and they can get away with it. That was a level of critique in it, but a lot of the other stuff is just like
surface level for you.
Yeah, it's very surface level in terms of the writing, bro.
Do you know we put out a clip obviously where Gaz kind of said what you're saying, and like 90% of the comments were like disagreeing with Gaz, right? Because I think for them, I'm just playing advocate here, but their point was PTA bringing up the themes is enough, like critiquing them or diving
into
them or whatever.
That's how white mediocrity survives.
Yeah, so like their point is like the themes are there to be presented, and then it's to be interpreted by us, right?
I think sometimes that can work in terms of bringing up ideas and issues.
Yeah.
In a sense of, I'm not trying to give people an answer, which is not something that you need to do. You're not to give people an answer, or this is wrong, XYZ is wrong. But you can't bring it up as in the fact of these people are evil, these people are good, or these people are bad, but you're not critiquing the issues that come within it. It's like going to being in English and then you do a report on flipping, I don't know, when the curtain is blue, and leave it at that. That's not a good way of interacting. Oh, why is the curtain blue? Why is the curtain blue, Paul? And that's what the issue was. He does it in critique why the curtain is blue. That is the problem. You can't look at that film. Me personally, I can't look at that film and say, yeah, this is top tier level of filmmaking when you leave so many holes and so many issues with the writing and the storytelling with the film. That's not great to me, unfortunately. It's not. I was expecting greatness. I didn't get it.
I can tell you what greatness is, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you about some greatness. Black British actors.
Yeah.
Which is...
We got there.
Which is what our episode is about today. We're going to highlight...
What is it?
I don't know. I just wanted to set up a conflict with you two first. But no. Today we're here to talk about some of our favourite Black British actors and people that have had a lasting impact, whether past, present or future, where we see the futures going, where we've seen... the sort of trajectory over the years and the success that's happened. It doesn't have to be necessarily like a linear thing where we go from past to present, but it would be also good to highlight some of our actors from yesteryear or some of our elder statesmen. within the game for sure. But firstly, I just think it's very important to highlight the importance of black actors making a name for themselves within the industry, which is so hard to break into anyway, and then doing so as a black man or woman or however you identify. And then the challenges of getting the kinds of stories which you actually want to be part of and tell as well.
Got you.
And I think it's important for us to highlight that considering the month we're in.
Mm-hmm. What month are we in, Gaz?
We're in October, which is Black History Month. So shout out to my fellow blacks.
Full of blacks.
Crazy.
Rise.
That's it, rise, you know.
And I'll kick off and we can just have a fluid conversation. Fluid. Anyway. And I'm going to start with someone that Jason hates. But I actually think this actor, beyond his two most important roles, in my opinion, in his career, has also laid a pathway for so many other actors to do what he did. Because what he did is kind of unheard of. It's obviously the man himself, Idris Elba. I do think he's a good actor. I just think he picks, in today at least, cut this out if you clip it. Today, I think he picks roles which are a payday, if you like. But I think he actually has two roles which I think are career defining and have had a lasting impact on the world of television as a whole. And obviously now he's a megastar. So the concept of like art that matters and art that defines who you are might not matter as much. I'm not saying it does or doesn't, but he has those. And firstly, obviously, The Wire. We speak about the show all the time because of me mainly, I guess.
For sure.
But the significance of him being a British man who was coming towards the time where I think he was married. I think he had children. He was in New York. He was desperate for a role. He moved to America to get that specific, not The Wire per se, but a role within America, which is where Hollywood is, which is where you get a big break. And he was really struggling to do so and stumbled across a role like Stringer Bell, when he actually went for Avon Barksdale initially, got Stringer Bell, convinced everyone that he was he was American born, had to work on his accent to sort of perfect the accent, which I think he did a good job of. Now, me knowing who he is, I can still hear the Brit.
Yeah.
I still think the accent is so convincing, the portrayal of Stringer Bell, who's such a layered character within such a complex show. I think him being in The Wire, which is one of the great shows of all time, whether you watch it or not, it's such a significant moment for him as an actor and for black Brits as a whole. It's a series which defines what we call prestige TV, which we're going to do an episode on for sure at some point. Stringer Bell, as I said, layered character, so intriguing, so many dimensions to him, so flawed, so dark. And when you think of The Wire, he's probably one of the first characters you think of. And then obviously we have Luther, which for me, again, crime drama, which is very much British. It's very much, and I think that's his, although Stringer Bell's his defining role, I think Luther's the role that fits him the most as a character. It's very dark, it's very mysterious. It dives into like the layers of a flawed man who's also so brilliant at the same time. And he seems to like those sort of dark,
for a long time, I thought Luther was his role in The Wire.
Okay.
I thought Luther was in The Wire.
Even though, like,
what?
The locations are mad different, though.
No, no, no.
Have you seen Luther?
No, no. I have not seen either. Okay. What I'm saying is, I thought Luther was his character name.
In The Wire.
In The Wire.
Got you.
I'm with you.
He embodies that, literally embodies the character. You know, sometimes the actor comes the character and vice versa. It was like that with him, with Luther. And then since then, he's obviously been in so many big projects. He's been in the MCU. He's recently been in a Prime movie with John Cena. And I think a lot of those are like...
Head of State.
Those are like the roles where, you know, quick payday... Which he's earned the right to do so, because at least at the bare minimum, he's played a key role in allowing the likes of Adamson.
He's been in some cult classics though. Kiz, I know that you'll probably know this.
I've got them up. I was going to say,
what's that film?
Rock and Roller. He was in.
Oh yeah.
Him and Jared Butler have one of the best two-man steps in film I've ever seen in my life.
Their
interactions on like whenever they're on screen together, bro. Bodying it.
Yeah, for sure.
What's that role, bro, with him and Chris Brown and them man? That
Hustlers?
Cult. Is it Hustlers?
No, you thinking Stomp the Yard?
No.
Stomp? Shut the fuck up.
That's so racist. Chris Brown plays.
Takers.
Plays like
it?
A.
Yeah, Takers. It is Takers.
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 Takers. Yo. Underrated film, by the way. Takers is an underrated film.
Takers is not an underrated film.
Save a cast, please. Save a cast.
Also Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
He's cold in that.
Takers, it has some of the most interesting casts. So it's Idris.
Yep.
Then we've got Paul Walker.
Yep.
Chris Breezy.
Yep.
Michael Eli.
Yep.
T.I.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen.
Yep.
With, flipping hell, man.
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana, yes. Oh my goodness.
Did she just come out?
2010. 2010. Bro.
Bear in mind, though, he's also been in like Sonic, which, and Sonic 3 is one of the biggest.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of the biggest movies of last year in terms of. Mm-hmm. An American Gangster, well. Bro. Even though he's in it for a short period of time, he's in it for like the first 5 minutes. Yeah.
Did you mention Flight?
You mean Hijack?
Hijack, you mean, yeah. Flight is Denzel.
Flight is Denzel. Makes sense.
Black men in the plane. Mixing up his black men. Okay. I want to call me anti-black.
Next time I'm going to see Snicks in the plane or something. Okay.
Although I've clogged up a lot of the Idris conversation, are there any thoughts from you guys on Idris? I mean, yeah, great. I think one of the pinnacles of our time, but yeah.
I think he's a really good actor that I don't really care to go see, but that's because I feel like his roles that he's done in the past was, I feel like these roles that he's done in the past were so great that I don't think he's gonna match that level.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything from since then that's close to that, and I'm fine with that. I don't feel like we always need to seek for greatness with some actors. I think there's some actors that we're gonna talk about that we expect that every time they're on screen,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think Idris Elba is one of them for me. But and that's fine. That's enough.
I think him and Suicide Squad made me feel like, in basketball terms, he's the perfect sixth man. Like, as in, like, he might not start games, okay, but when he does play, he's impactful, you know? Yeah. Or, like, in football, Javier Hernandez, fam, man came off the bench and said, yo, let me just tap someone in. Do you know what I mean? So, because he had some films leading up to Suicide Squad, which, like you said, okay, were probably for the, you know, payday, and they were just a bit ass. But when he does that, and you go, rah, he came, you know, off the bench and scored a banger here. You know what I mean? Because he was fantastic in that film. I literally watched that 3 days ago.
Mm. Jason,
he was fantastic in that film.
A Czech obsession.
So yeah, like I absolutely agree. I don't think he's somebody that I would run to go be like, oh, I have to watch this film. Like how Gladiator. Mm. I don't think I would have ran to go watch it if Denzel wasn't in it. Do you get me?
Oh,
okay. I think I would have just waited, you know. But I went to go watch it because I don't think it just has that effect on me. But I respect what he's done, 100%.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he laid the foundation for some of our actors that are now doing similar things, like Dancing, which we'll get into later.
Just one last thing.
Body Snowfall.
And this might change my opinion on Idris Elba as a whole. He made a film with Beyonce called Obsessed.
Good film. Good film.
What would that change your opinion on Idris Elba?
That's a good film.
Black Queen.
Okay.
And sometimes when you got it, you got it. And
he plays the aggressor in that film. That he's like obsessed with her and she can't see anybody else. He's very creepy in that film. It's actually really good for him.
I would never want to a Beyonce led film. I'm sorry. It's never going to happen.
But in that film, okay, she does a fight scene.
Black woman confirmed.
Part of the fight scene, she gets dashed. Huh? you know you're holding a mic, right?
Don't worry, we picked it up.
But yeah, guys, you're mentioning Bams and Idris?
Yes.
Oh.
Not yet, not yet.
I mean, I wasn't intentionally pivoting there, so we can save it.
Yeah. Can I pivot to my shout-out?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nice. This guy, the other day, the reason why I wanted to do this episode like months ago was because I was watching TV and then this guy just kept coming up. And then I Googled him and I was like, he's British. And I know that I can't say his surname, okay, but it's David Oyelowo.
Yeah. I saw him recently at the National Theatre.
Bro, he's in everything.
Yeah, it's
cool. And he's been in everything. Like, one of my favorite films, okay, growing up, okay, because my dad loved that film, was the one with Forest Whitaker, The Last King of Scotland. Great film. He's in that film as well, okay? And I was like, wow. And then, but like, if you look at his like category of films, yeah, he was in The Book of Clarence, Complicit in 2013. He was in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. He was in Interstellar. He was in, I was saying, The Help. He was in Becoming King, A Wrinkle of Time. Like, bro,
that's a great lineup. That's
bro, it. Honestly, yeah, he's gone crazy, man. Peter Rabbit, Small Island, the Cloverfield Paradox, which he was sick in that as well. Midnight Sky, bro. Like, some of these films, I couldn't believe he was in Jack Reacher, Government Cheese, Selma, big one for him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Silo as well. But honestly, and I watched him in Roleplay last year, I think on Prime Video, which is like a action comedy thing as well. Mm. Fantastic in that too. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I just think he's been around for like 20, 30 years and I don't think he gets the props that he deserves, man. Do you know what I mean? But but he's getting the roles that he, you know.
Consistent work.
Yeah.
I recently saw him, last year, October, National Theatre. He performed.
Oh.
He was a lead in a play called Colinius, I think it's called. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. He's a great actor, a great theatre actor as well. He has his own theatre company.
Does he? He's a director as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
Oh, okay.
The theatre company is called... I might get it wrong, but I think it's called Anglin Yoruba or Yoruba Anglin or something like that.
So it's not real films?
Huh? No, because it's obviously Yoruba and Anglo-Saxon because his wife is white.
Oh, so
they have a production company together, but yeah, he's a wonderful actor. He's a wonderful actor, wonderful theatre actor as well, man. You can see that in a lot of his performances too.
Yeah, he's cold, man. I really want to know how to say his surname though.
His surname is.
I would probably say.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, bro.
This is what you need, Bisola.
But yeah, man, just thought I'd give him a...
Yeah, for sure. Manny, someone I want to speak to you about.
Yes.
You interviewed last year.
Vivian.
Ah. John Marion Baptiste.
Oh, John. Yeah. Hard truths.
Hard truths, man.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
She grained,
She's a goat, man.
Which we learned later on.
I didn't interview her. You interviewed her.
Oh.
You sure?
Yeah.
She told you that she's proud of you, right?
She said it to you, no?
It was you, bro.
It was you, bro.
I don't know. We were both
No, it was you. You were speaking to her. We had issues with the mic. But then I spoke to her because I wanted to keep her company while we were sorting out the mic issues.
Okay.
But then you definitely interviewed her. Oh. But I spoke to her when we went to the... I went to the screening of Hard Truths and I spoke to her then. We done like a... There's like a Q&A upstairs.
I heard her CV speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah.
But like Secrets and Lies, obviously she worked with Mike Lee on Hard Truths and also worked with him on Hard Truths and Secret Lies, which gained her like critical acclaim
finally
as a black British woman in the mid-90s, my memory tells me.
Mid-early 90s.
Secrets and Lies.
96.
Yeah, so mid-90s. And the fact that one of the first, if not the first black British actress to gain an Academy Award nomination.
Yeah.
Speaks for itself. The fact she's British and
it's breathtaking,
lays a pathway for other actors and actresses to want to follow suit. And she's just been around for like donkeys of years and is still acting till today.
Yeah. She was also in Takers.
Fuck off.
She's in like everything.
Like, that's the greatest film of all time. Like, Takers might be the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. of films, you know?
I'm not intentionally pivoting. We're going to get back to John, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is having a renaissance in pop culture conversation.
It is. But also just on her, she is the Angela Bassett of for us.
I get it.
That's what I see her.
I get it.
Honestly. Put her in like a part-time role at this point because she's like 60 plus, right?
58 now.
58? Cool. Yeah. All right. Put her in like a role where she's somebody's a parent or somebody's wife. Whatever. Calm. She'll shed it. Like, I don't have to see her in a lead role, but if I do, then sick, but I don't have to. You know?
She's got a great CV. I think it's important for people like ourselves to still get the flowers they deserve today.
Yeah.
We're going to speak about some of like the more contemporary black British actors, but for someone like her, who's like a trailblazer, at least for my childhood, into my like teen years, for sure deserves her flowers. Manny, over to you. So anyone you want to highlight?
Shout out her. She was also in the Book of Clarence, which I watched recently.
She's just supremely talented. Hard Truths is a fucking good movie. But
no, it's a really... I think she should have gone a bit more noise and hype about potential nominations for that performance of hers in Hard Truths. I think it was a really difficult performance to put forward, and I think she's done an excellent job, very convincing job with the character that she played. So it's a shame, but yeah, really good film.
Did she get any nominations?
She got buzz, but not nomination.
I think there was like buzz and potential nominations, but she never... To my understanding...
I just think the movie also lacked the star gravitas.
Yeah.
That other.
Yeah, it's a shame because it's Mike Lee as well.
Mike Lee did his thing. It's a good movie. It's got it's balance of like tension and darkness and some angst towards her character. You also feel sorry for her at the same time. It's funny, and it's funny. It's actually really funny.
Yeah. One actor that I want to bring up, I'm sure someone that will want to talk about him regardless, is Daniel Kaluuya.
Talk to us about Mr. Daniel K.
Yeah,
my fellow Ugandan, who we've spoken to on the pod.
Yeah.
We've spoken to him.
Red carpet, we spoke to him. Kitchen.
We did, yeah.
I think he's a great performer. And obviously, he directed The Kitchen, so he's also moving into the lane of being, or he co-directed The Kitchen, let me say. And he's also moving into the lane of being a filmmaker, which is the evolution of that some actors take on, which I'm looking forward to see what he does next. But yeah, Daniel Kaluuya, I think one of the first times that the world that seen him was in Skins. As a young actor.
Groundbreaking series.
I think we definitely need to do a look into like early 2000s TV shows and where the actors of, or early or late 2000s TV shows, and where the actors have gone to, like from like Skins, from Shameless, from other TV shows.
Misfits
as well. But yeah, Daniel Kaluuya, and obviously the time after that, I wasn't really into Skins. I didn't watch Skins that much when I was younger. I watched episodes here and there. So the first full on performance that I seen for Daniel Kaluuya was 50 million credits, Black Mirror.
I really
enjoyed that episode. I really liked his character really and the way they performed it. But obviously the breakout one would have been Get Out for Daniel Kaluuya, for the world to truly see who he was and his potential as an actor. And ever since then, like, not only in film, but also outside of that, the way that he talks about film or talks about being a black person within London, you can see that he's very much a Londoner, and he very much does care about the arts and care about who he is as a person, how the world perceives his work. Brilliant actor. Look forward to seeing him more stuff. Was in Get Out. Obviously, he played, was in Black Panther, the first one.
You know, for me, Get Out, I think he performed better in Nope than Get Out.
Than Get Out?
Yeah.
I think his best performance is in Judas and the Black Messiah.
Of course,
you would.
That's the one, bro.
That is a good film.
I mean, I don't even say that as a slight, but of course you would.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's not beefing you.
But
we're not beefing. We're in agreement. This makes so much sense. Perfect sense. But I hear you.
The Note versus Kato is an interesting one.
Performance-wise.
Yeah.
Performance-wise. I feel like Note had a... he has to play this like support system to his sister, okay, but at the same time as well, okay, he has to keep an open his mind to what's happening, and also they've just lost their parents, so they're dealing with like obviously the will of that, okay, and then at the same time as well, like there's only a few parts of it where he actually shows emotion, because he's got to stay like grounded because everyone around him is so chaotic and so crazy, and but he's got to stay thinking. And it was the scene where he like dabbed her up, so he's like,
I thought it was a scene. That was such a nice scene,
and it gasses you because it's like, oh wait, he's gassed now. Do you get me? Okay, so like, yeah, I thought he was really good in that, and I thought he was really intentional in it as well. So yeah, that for me, and I know people at the time, what I'm realizing now is that people at the time didn't rate Nope. Now people are going back and be like, you know what, it's actually a good film.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it because I didn't enjoy it when I first watched
They've
it.
They've been late.
I think I
love that film.
I always appreciate the cinematography when I watched it the first time. And I can't remember what my issue was with the film. I think it might be more so on how the story was being told.
The plot, right?
Yeah, I think that might be
the plot is very different, you know what I'm saying? But the symbolism in what they were doing was top tier to filmmaking. Like the monkey stuff and etc.
Yeah,
like
the monk, what's his name? What's the guy's name, man?
The Asian guy.
Yeah.
Stephen Yeun.
Yeah, Stephen Yeun. Yeah.
I think his arc and how he was with the monkey in terms of him always trying to tame a beast. I love that symbolism right before.
Yeah.
That I really liked. But anyways, it's Black British. We'll talk about it at some point. John Boyega, superstar. Absolutely adore him as an actor.
You mean
Daniel Kaluuya? You're mixing up your black
what
people again.
Because he said
John Boyega.
That's two in a row, by the way.
Black people again.
We let the first one go. That's the yellow card.
What was the first one?
Idris Elba and Denzel.
No. I got the film wrong. It wasn't.
Yes,
no. Okay, so this one. No, give me the cards.
It's calm. I've blown the whistle. Yeah. I'm fully
deserved.
Listen,
I deserve them. But I'm going to give my reasons because I have notes in it. And I scrolled up And also on John Boyega's one.
So what VAR thing you want me to do?
Yeah, no, it's not VAR. Like, I'll hold the card and deserve it.
Honest mistake.
I was going to say as well. He's also in Sicario.
Yeah. He's not in it for long.
Very small part, but he was good when he was on it.
I mean,
his chemistry with Emily Blunt was good.
Yeah, you look at his films, you know, this guy has been a hard worker. Daniel Kaluuya. Like, multiple genres as well. He was in Johnny English. If you guys remember.
What? I didn't know he was in Johnny English.
Didn't know either.
He was like the sidekick, I guess, in that film. Obviously, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Yeah.
Fantastic in that, to be fair.
What's the guy who plays again?
Spider-Punk. No, you're right. Spider-Punk.
Queen and Slim, of course.
And I think that's the most interesting Spider-Man as well in the Spider-Verse. But he's got very diverse catalogue of films.
Queen and Slim, you know.
And how old is he? Like 38?
36.
Yeah, man. He's not even reached his 40s. He's still got a long career ahead of him.
How old's John?
He's like early 30s. Might be like 33.
Is it just me, okay? Or do you feel like their rise can happen at the same time?
33. No, on the money.
What was John's first thing? Was Attack the Block?
Attack the Block, yeah.
And then Star Wars.
Was Star Wars right after Attack the Block?
Star Wars wasn't after Attack the Block. Attack the Blocks came out in 2011.
Yeah, but Star Wars was like 2014 or something, right?
16.
Yeah, so
yeah, calm.
Yeah, but
it was like his rise, though. And like,
yeah, so yeah, what was he doing?
He brought the ends to the thing, premiere.
Yeah, that was the whole thing about him. Was that,
it was like, that's his big thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think like Star Wars was like his big break.
I don't think he done much between 11 and 15.
There
was nothing of like...
Nothing of major, no.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, because I remember the whole thing about like the press about him was that, all right, they were just pushing Attack the Block because they had nothing really else to push in it. And I still remember like it's jokes, his interview on like Graham Norton, isn't it, when he's talking about going on dates, isn't it, and like he's like he was on a date with a girl, right? Yeah, and she didn't know who he was, right? So they're just talking about like what they do for work, innit, and like she explains what she does, right? She's like, oh, so what do you do? And he goes, as she said that, right, yeah, they're driving and they pass the billboard. Do you know what the billboard was? It was him holding a lightsaber, and he goes, oh, well, that.
That's crazy. But
that story definitely sounds made up, though.
Yeah, it definitely does.
We need to VAR check that story.
Yeah, right. Well,
come on. Yeah, I think he's a very well-diverse actor. He knows how to ground the moment really well. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he does really well in terms of like, whether it's chaotic or overly emotional, he knows how to center his emotions in that scene.
Yeah,
that's my take on Daniel.
Before I pick some of my, before I go with mine, I'm gonna somewhat change the tone, but not in a bad way.
Go ahead.
I think we had a lot of shows like or movies. We had like the kidhoods and the adulthoods of like the 2010s, which I think laid the groundwork and the platform for Top Boy.
Yeah.
And no matter how you feel about that final season of the Netflix one, which I liked, but some people didn't, I think what you can't dispute is what it's done for some of our Black British actors who I think have gone on to do great things and still can go on to do amazing things as well.
I agree.
And the first one is Ashley Waters, who we know has always had an interest in acting. And we know he's had some difficulties in his life and his career in terms of personal issues and, you know, where he came from in terms of his upbringing, which would have enabled certain behaviours, and how he's been able to sort of change his life around to the point where we get to 2025.
Yeah.
And he has one of the better performances in one of the best shows of the year in Adolescence. And I think that's massively impressive to show like the transformation of the man. And obviously, we're still works in progress. We're still trying to improve ourselves as human beings. But the fact he's been able to turn his career around and also go from music and show his love for the arts in various forms, which is now television and performing and films, incredible. Obviously, I know he's been in, what movie was it? It's going to jar me.
So
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, it was Get Rich or Die Trying, but I think like I'm thinking Bullet Boy, which was quite like, I think like you mentioned Top Boy, I think like Bullet Boy might have been the film before that in terms of us being able to get stuff like Top Boy. It's all lineage. Like, we always got whatever we see now and what we enjoy now, there were people that came before it that did something that we can put into, oh, if it wasn't for this particular film or this particular TV show, this particular actor wouldn't have gone X, Y, and Z. And I think Bullet Boy is one of them that altered essentially the arts
for sure, man. And he's been in a lot more things than people would actually realize. I've just getting the filmography up here, because I don't remember everything per se, but he's been firstly in a lot of movies and also a lot of important TV shows. Like all of our great actors have been in The Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the pathway. Yeah, and we're going to speak on someone later on.
The Bill's a classic, by the way.
Who we've spoken to.
It's like a version of, what's it called that they're doing?
Law and Order. Yeah, it is, you know. Yeah. It is. He's been in Holby City, which I had no clue about. Silent Witness, I believe. He's been in Doctor Who, which I had no clue about until this year when I did some research on him. But obviously, Top Boys.
I think he was in. Was he in Grange Hill?
No, he wasn't in Grange Hill.
No.
Are you sure he was? Wasn't something
like a student.
If it wasn't Green, yeah, like a student
Grange
show.
Grange Hill.
If it wasn't Grange Hill, it was something else like during that period.
No.
Okay.
He wasn't Grange Hill, 1997. Yeah. He's in 12 episodes.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I think that was his first.
He was in Grange Hill.
Yeah.
Which showed he's had a love for the arts from like a very young age, and obviously from music to performing. So, and I think that's very impressive. And I think Top Boy was obviously a great trajectory for him with the initial slate of it.
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, I don't think his acting was amazing then, personally. But you can see the transformation when we get to the Top Boy Netflix version.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on his performance in Top Boy and what he's done for his career?
Top tier, I think he definitely leveled it up when it got to the Top Boy Netflix version. I think it's because the story, in my opinion anyway, had more depth. And I feel like in the Channel 4 version, I feel like we all loved it because we just related to what that environment was, do you know what I mean? Okay, back then. So we didn't take into account too much of the acting performances, you know, per person. And but I think in the Netflix version, I think the key difference was that a lot of the characters had arcs, their own arcs, you know, which obviously we appreciated like super greatly. Whereas in the Channel 4 version, I think the only people that had arcs were the characters that were the side characters. Like who was the kid?
Lionel.
Huh?
Lionel, is it?
Yes, and then the white kid that was like super, Jason.
Yeah, I think so.
The one that dies in the thingy one. Yeah,
Kane's,
yeah.
Kane's boy.
Yeah. Like all the people that were like that were like going through their own like traumatic experiences had that. Whereas his character was given a chance in the Netflix one to develop. You know, and I think he took it. He took it really, really well. Do you know what I'm saying? And obviously, I think during the time he also done Bullet Point. I want to say
Bulletproof.
But yeah. So I think he was in his bag, like as in just like kind of like, you know, finding that gap of being like a regular actor and obviously, you know, doing his thing. And yeah, man. He shelled it. I can't lie though. He was in the ass film this year. One of the worst ones I've ever watched.
It was a film.
Not film, series. You told me to watch it, bruv. What was it called?
Thousand Blows?
No.
Okay, good.
It was on Netflix. He plays like a guy
that. Oh, yeah, I said that series wasn't good. I said that.
He plays like a guy.
I definitely didn't recommend that series though. I said that series was ass.
He plays a guy that like
I know what it is.
He catfishes somebody.
It's a Harlem Coben series. Oh, it's one of the Harlem Coben ones.
It's Stephen and Ashley Go Fishing?
No, it's a Harlem Coben series. Just Google Netflix Harlem Coben and you'll see it.
It's
not good.
You know I think that
yeah, it's not good.
Missing You. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
honestly, one of the worst series I've ever watched.
From the trailer, you can tell that it's not a good TV show.
Man, it was honestly one of the worst series that I've ever seen. Like, it's so bad. And the thing is, like, I don't know why he picked it, man. Okay, do you know what I mean? Obviously, probably the paycheck, but like, but he was asking it too.
Fair. But I like Ashley Waters. He's not, even in Top Boy. Was never my favorite actor in it.
Same.
But we all know who your favorite actor was, to be fair.
Who?
In Top Boy, Kenno.
Oh, same, yeah.
Kenno,
yeah.
My favorite actor. Yeah. But I think, like, my favorite Ashley Waters performance were never in Top Boy. They were in Bullet Boy, they were in even Get Rich or Die Trying, it was better in that. And obviously, as of recent, Adolescence,
yeah.
Yeah, my favorite performances from Ashley Waters weren't Top Boy ones.
It's been a good year for him. He 100%. He was an executive producer, and I believe he directed some episodes of A Thousand Blows, which, again, one of my favourite shows of the year. Really, really good series, which shows, again, the creative bag that he's got, his ability to diversify his abilities as a whole. And then Adolescence, which was such a groundbreaking series, and he genuinely performed so well in that. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And it's going to go down as one of the best shows of the year. Which takes us to Kane Robinson, because we're already here.
Yeah.
Although he's not done too much in his discog, I think it's worth a brief discussion. Easily one of my favourite performers of the in recent times. Just alone from the ability to evoke emotion and show emotion through without doing much. Especially his eyes.
He's got a very broken face, man. Like, as an, you know, in a emotional, expressive way, you know. But we did save us though after the kitchen. We all said now, all right, cool. We've now got to see him in something slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, to really judge like he's acting like chops, you know. And but obviously from Kane, and we said this as well. Kane was talking about how like he's fallen into acting, you know, and that he doesn't know yet if he wants it to be his job, you know, and he's still finding like his like feet in that space. So, you know, he said that he's not like used to being somewhere for 12 hours and, you know, filming something, etc. And he's still not, you know, used to that. So whether it's in him to be an actor or he's just doing films that his friends are doing, like obviously the Top Boy and Clash of Waters and Kitchen and Daniel Kaluuya, and these are all his people, you know. So seeing him being in someone else's like art form, like imagine him in one battle, he would have been called as one of the rebels, you know, like sick. But yeah, like I would love to see him now in like a different role, in a different setting, with a different cast, a different crew, a different director, writer, etc.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think he smoked it in Top Boy. When I went to the kitchen
both times,
yeah, but from the pre Netflix and post Netflix, 100%.
Yeah.
And when I was going into the kitchen, I was kind of hoping for the character to be a lot more different. The character was definitely different.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's not the same person from Sunny, but I do kind of wish, I want to see him in a different environment, performing under different circumstances. I feel like the kitchen,
I think there's loads of time for that though to naturally happen.
100%.
Considering it's what, probably like third, maybe he's been in more, but to my knowledge, that third or fourth role.
He's 40 though.
Second. I can't think of a third one.
That's quite young for an actor.
Yeah.
40s, you've probably got, if you wanted, 30 years to still perform different things. So I do agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. I just think that we can.
He's definitely the same. I think part of me personally.
Because you just come off the back of Top Boy.
Top Boy, yeah. But I think because he's so, I think because he's so talented, I think like he's done such a great job in Top Boy. I'm just eager to see what else he can do.
Someone I want to highlight is someone that you love. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Someone that you want to get on the pod. His journey has been quite mesmerizing. Hello?
Into the mic.
Hey, man. Hey. His journey has been... Oh, get out of his ass, man. Oh.
I'm praying he's going to say who I think he's going to say.
Oh, no. I'd like you to guess.
David...
Just the man himself,
yes,
man.
My brother, man. I love him.
He is one of the most talented and diverse actors I think that's working today.
Yeah.
Agreed.
For sure.
I didn't know he's 32. Because you wouldn't think so.
He's 32?
He's 32.
Is it?
Hey, what? We're fucking was younger. Age mates, yeah.
But that's always the case. And I was when I was watching the movie, I'll get to you later, when I was watching, I was like, I bet this guy is older than I think he is. Because when you watch him, he looks like such a young performer. Mm. It shows his ability to encompass so many different types of performers and performances and roles within his craft. Obviously, I first came across him in Rye Lane, which is a great rom comedy drama. And he was really, really good in that. Played like a role that I felt fitting of him in terms of how he looks. Sheepish, very much hopeful of love, very much... but also has this sort of like dorkiness to him. But then he showed his ability in The Long Walk, for example, to encompass a completely different character. Somebody
so good,
who's very much assured of themselves and they know who they want to be, but also can be quite like a nice person at the same time. And Manny, any thoughts on him before I continue on?
I will also highlight him in Industry, and all those three roles were completely different in terms of like the...
Alien Romulus as well.
Don't make me get onto that film.
I was going to say, that film is phenomenal.
But it's all right, man.
It's a good film. It's a very good film.
He's phenomenal in it.
He is phenomenal in it.
I thought you meant the film.
He's the best part.
He's really good.
That's the only reason I want to watch it. That's the only reason.
By a mile.
The only reason I want to watch it.
But it's good.
No, his co-lead's quite good as well, though. Kayleigh Spaney was good in that as well.
Yeah, but he just showed it.
I think it's because he has to, like, you see the switch in a minute.
Yeah, he was amazing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sorry, go
on. Yeah, I think like just diversity in his acting and type of roles that he picks up. He picks up very interesting projects. I would say, and I love that. I love the fact that he's comfortable enough to try different things. And I know that you went to the screening where he spoke quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
talking about his startup being from theatre, that he mm-hmm. wanted to go into theatre acting. And again, doesn't surprise me at all. I will keep talking about in terms of like...
Are you allowed to talk about the screening? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wasteman.
Yeah. I will keep going on about in terms of like actors, especially British actors going into theatre, and British actors that come from theatre in terms of the quality that they're able to produce in screen in comparison to other actors. I think that's the most elite that we have. So super excited for him as an actor.
Yeah.
La Masia.
I think also when you're like picking your first one to four-ish roles, right? When you pick like those diverse roles, you set yourself up in Hollywood, you know, as like, all right, cool, he can do pretty much anything that we need him to, you know, to do. And then you also start getting yourself in the rumor wheel, because now I see him in everything. Like if there's like a Marvel thing, a DC thing, a fucking Chris Nolan thing, it's like he's on the list for all of those things. Okay, do you know what I mean? And I feel like it's harder to go into Hollywood in that way because people are safer. They're like, oh, okay, cool, I'm a big guy, I'll do free action films. Do you know what I mean? Okay, because it's a safer pick. Whereas like if you go the diverse way, it's a roll of the dice, because you can either look like really bad because you can't do those roles.
No, I was just moving it up.
Or you can have like a fantastic kind of like foundation for like the, for, you know, yeah. But in Alien Romulus, you're absolutely right. Okay, like he plays almost what like we expect Jonathan Majors from Kang, you know, where to kind of like switch into like the different versions of what that person is. Okay, and he absolutely is breathtaking. The Long Walk, that's what is was maybe my second favorite performance from him. Like he was a co-lead, he shared the screen really well with Seymour
Hoffman's
son. Forgot his name, sorry.
His name is
Cooper
Hoffman.
Yes. And he provided this like the film is so kind of like jumpy. There's moments where like you don't expect it to be so gruesome, you know what I mean? Okay, and it is, but he provides like you almost feel like you're him during that walk, because he's so calm, but he's also scared and he's frightened, but he's caring and he every emotion that he goes through, I feel like I was him. Do you know what I'm saying? And he was a fantastic representation of that. And at the Wasteman screening, I saw like loads of clips of him on BFI and BBC and stuff, and him not believing that he can see himself here and people that are here for him and they're screaming his name and stuff. He's so grateful. After all these massive films, these massive roles, he's still grateful, you know, just to be here. So maybe he doesn't feel like he's done his big break yet, you know?
Wasteman is a good movie, you know?
Really?
It's a fucking good movie.
Is it out this year?
February next year.
So we can't even count it in our end of years?
No. But it's not what you think it is. I've had people, I think people will naturally have the feeling of like, oh, is this stereotyping young black men? And I get it. If you see the trailer, if you see the posters, you're like,
you see the name of the film.
This,
the
title is actually really poignant. I'll say that as well.
I saw someone that saw it and said, I still don't understand what the film's called Wasteman.
I do.
Okay.
I'll explain it without spoiling. Okay. Wasteman has multiple meanings. Okay. And I think
fair enough.
Wasteman has multiple connotations, but we'll use it in different ways, right? And a lot of the characters in the movie kind of like epitomize and fall into the category of Wasteman for different reasons. And I think that's why the title makes a lot of sense to me, which is something I spoke about with, can't remember who I was with. But yeah, the title makes so much sense because you can be a Wasteman for one reason and you can be a Wasteman for another, and so can I can be. And it was very fitting of those.
Glad how you just added yourself in there at the end.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going.
PR,
I wasn't
great PR. Great PR.
I really wasn't
great
going
PR,
to.
Great PR.
Yeah, I wasn't going to, but I thought, you know what?
Let me be inclusive.
Yeah, yeah. You know, include myself. But no, yeah, it's a really good movie. It's got a lot to say about. It's got a lot to say systematically and politically, without being too overt or like heavy-handed with those themes and ideas. David Johnson is fucking incredible in the movie, and Tom Blyth, who he's been in Hunger Games and I think Plain Clothes, I think it is as well. You wouldn't think, although Tom Blyth's character isn't like the nicest guy in Hunger Games, for example, what he does in this movie is absolutely insane. I know it's about Black Christy Mouth, so let me focus and pivot back quickly. But no, both of them actors are really good, and David Johnson is just a star.
I saw a comment, by the way, on one of the posts, not your post, on one of the trade media posts, and there was a comment, and the comment got like 10,000 likes, and it was David Johnson might be the best screen partner in the past like 2 years, because like he feeds well off other people, do you know what I mean? Okay, and like his timing is like fantastic, you know, like he doesn't wait for his time. It's more just like you can go like, you know, back and forth. I would love to see him. Obviously, The Long Walk was an ethically touching film. I would love to see him in like an ethically sourced like franchise now. That would be so sick.
What do you mean?
Like so something where for example, again, obviously I'm being biased here, but if we saw him in like a Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
He'd shell that. Huh?
Don't want him in another.
I do.
I don't want any of my favorite actors. I don't care for them.
Do you know what? I'm with you. I think especially when they're on the come up, but stay away from them things. Yeah, like especially if you're like an actor that's like
trying to establish,
and not even that like he seems like someone in a couple of years that will be looking for like Academy Awards, in it. Stay away from that kind of stuff.
Kids. Ben the Cumberbatch, yeah, still does fantastic films. Outside of this.
Yeah, but it was very much established by the time.
Yeah, it was by then he was.
Yeah, cool. I'm not even saying now then. Cool. Let me recant. Just in due time.
Yeah, I think we should be wary of being too snobbish to franchises. I don't think that's like the worst thing in the world to do.
It just has to
fit you as an individual. And so if you have an interest in something, I think it's worth exploring.
I'll add this then. Depends on the franchise.
No, it just depends on you and your interest. I think that matters more than anything.
Just a super quick question, just to entertain us a little bit more.
Okay.
No. Go on. Off the top of your head, right? David Johnson gets a Marvel shot or any character. Who would you want him to play?
Oh, that's a really good shout. I would have... If I was to go back in time.
Don't go back in time.
But if I was to go back in time, I would give him Kang.
Okay.
Okay, I would give him Kang. If I was to go...
You can still give him Kang.
Back in time. We can still give him Kang. But I would actually give him a... I would like to see him in like a Doomish, like a villain role. Like a fantasy type role.
Mm. I feel like I would want him more in DC though, no?
Huh?
DC, I think he's
good. Well, in DC, like obviously there's various like, you know, characters that are super dark, especially in like, you know, the Batman universe and stuff. Okay, and you know that could work, right? Maybe even like in like the Green Lantern Corps. But obviously we got Aaron Pierre. Do you know what I'm saying? But no, I would like to see him as like a Marvel like villain.
Okay.
Done well. You know what I mean?
Would you want to see him in Clayface?
It's
not gonna lie. That's fire.
That's a horror, isn't it?
Well, it's planned.
It's planned to be a horror. It's a good question.
Let's pivot quickly. I've got a few I want to throw out to you. Go on. Go ahead.
That was my pivot. I was going to mention Naomi Aki.
That's who I had next.
Yeah, who's also going to be in Clayface. That was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn it. Sure. It's all right.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Shout out to one of my favorite actress at the moment, working actress.
Oh, we know about you and Naomi Aki.
Wait, why?
What?
What? Mickey 17. Glazed her.
No.
She is dope though.
She's dope. But
she's 100% dope.
I don't remember glazing her.
You were glazed.
I don't remember glazing her enough for that comment
twice.
Yeah, I don't remember glazing enough for that comment to be made. But fair enough. Yeah, she could. Blink Twice, Mickey 17. She also starred as Whitney Houston in the recent Whitney Houston film that she also.
Oh my god, she did. Yeah,
she also executive produced. She's currently going to be in at least 3 films next year. One of them being Clayface. She was also in The Murder Mystery Club.
Good little movie that I enjoyed it.
The first The Murder Club, sorry.
I enjoyed that.
The films that's coming out next year, that's going to be in Shelter, Clayface, and I Love Boosters. Wonderful actor. Again, one thing that I like about actors that I'm starting to get to know is seeing that them acting in different roles and being in very diverse roles, showcasing the range as performers. I think the performance that she has in Blink Twice versus the performance that she has in Mickey 17 are both completely different.
So different.
I think she smokes both of them. Probably the highlight of both. Is she the highlight of Mickey 17? She's one of the highlights, not the highlight. One of the performer, and I'm just really excited to see what she's able to do next.
Do you know the term that I would use for her is like fearless? She seems fearless
in the performances.
Just in like the roles that she takes, or you know, feel like whatever it is, like I think she's willing to. There's certain actors, okay, when they take roles, you can almost tell that if a different actor took that role, it wouldn't be as prominent in that film. Mm-hmm. Whereas like because they've taken it, okay, and they've gone, do you know what? I'm not the lead, but it's calm. You know, I'm gonna make this a performance well enough, okay, where it's like, wow, you know what I mean? And I actually think that's how actors like Paul Mescal and Barry
Keoghan.
Yeah, that's how they done things. They were such good supporting characters that they had to be given a lead role. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so she for me is falling into that category where it's like she's got so much sauce here. She puts so much effort into whatever role that she's in that I can see her really doing this job for the next 20 years.
Easy.
You know?
Yeah. Good pick. Very, very good pick. Cause you wanted to go?
Yes, I wanted to give a shout out to who I think gets forgotten sometimes, but Natalie Emmanuel.
She's okay. Really good.
She is outstanding.
Game
obviously,
of Thrones, right? Started off in Hollyoaks.
Game of Thrones. Hollyoaks is where I knew her from.
Yeah, same.
Right, and I was like,
next
wow.
Thing I knew, she was in fucking Thrones. I was like, where the fuck did this come?
She was in Thrones. I can't even lie, okay? When she done her topless scene, yeah?
Okay,
I was like,
how did we get there?
I was like, am I allowed to look? I've known this girl since she was like 16.
Oh, right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense why you mentioned that.
Yeah, it felt so weird, you know? But obviously she plays Melisandre, right? No, sorry. What's her name? She plays Daenerys's number two. Kiz?
Yeah, Miss... Oh, my goodness.
Miss Sunday.
Yeah, so yeah, in Game of Thrones, okay, like I actually think, okay, that she gave, especially in the later seasons, okay, she gave Daenerys' character more of a human touch, okay. Every time that she kind of went out of the zone of like who she was in the first few seasons, okay, like she was able to remind Daenerys of who she was, you know, and it was super important. Also, she was also super key to Daenerys transitioning into the trauma of being this like slave baby into actually like learning about, you know, Westeros and the rest of the world, because obviously she spoke like every language and she was super educated and blah blah blah. So like, you know, all of that was incredible. I do think that spoiler for Jace, I do think that her death in it was one of the key deaths in Thrones history. You know what I mean? Okay, I think it was. It was a catalyst for, as we know now, to be everything else. You know what I'm saying? Okay, and but she played a fantastic role. She also had a difficult role to play in her love interest. You know, because obviously he was
a eunuch.
He was a eunuch. Okay, and she had to portray a sexual tension with that in mind. You know, and I think she does it really, really well. And she kills it. She's also in Fast and Furious. Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay, when they started to kind of like expand the cast more, you know, she showed that too. She was in the Five Armies, which I think is a really cool franchise.
Misfits as well, apparently.
Misfits as well. She was Misfits. Yeah. But yeah, I think cool. She's.
She's not the. Okay.
No. Okay. You're thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
She is.
But yeah, really good catalog. She was in a film last year of Kevin Hart, but that was just a kind of like a action funny film, whatever it is. But yeah, in
Killer?
No, the one on the plane. I forgot what it was called.
Oh, Die Hard.
Yes, and then she was also in like that crap film Megalopolis. And stuff.
She was.
Yeah, horrible ass film. But yeah, man, like I think she's super dope. I think she's like ridiculously talented and she's got like a long way to go, man. So yeah.
All right, what I'll do, I'll name off like final one, and I think we should do like not honorables, but people we should just briefly touch upon as well. Wumi Mosaku, man.
Oh, yes, sir.
Wumi Mosaku for me is someone again that her story tells you the idea that you can go from ground level sort of on the ground television shows like The Bill, shows like Silent Witness, really immerse yourself in those sort of roles, be really good in those roles as well, and then slowly but surely be recognized for your ability She's been in so many of like the kinds of shows that we watch on a daily basis on like Channel 1 to 5 and
so true.
All of those kind of like, you know, if you haven't got Sky, you're watching her on TV and it's like, oh yeah, that's, it's not mum, but it's like, yeah, like we grew up with you kind of thing. And she's only 39, which is mad.
What?
She's only 39. But she's been in so much. She's been in Black Mirror. She's been in, she was in Luther in season 3 or 4. So good in that. And then slowly but surely, like.
Love
Our Country. With Jonathan Majors. Obviously, she was in Loki, which is a bad boy series.
And she was called Loki.
She was really good in Loki. And then obviously we have Sinners, which is like the culminative point of her career, in my opinion, anyway. Just in terms of what Sinners does.
His impact House as well, which is one of the more underrated horror films of the 2020s.
We're not doing a horror episode.
I know. But I just wanted to point out in terms of like its story and kind of like, I don't know what that, especially when you take into account Black history and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It focuses a very Black-based horror story.
She's also in We Own the City.
What's that?
Oh, you know that.
Oh. She was.
Yeah, it's... with John Berthnell.
Oh, okay.
I know that film. Yeah.
John
Berthnell's my guy, man. But we're just with her, just back to her performance in Sinners. What really impressed me...
I know the artwork.
I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it.
I know you
have. What
did you say? I haven't seen it. I just know what you're talking about.
What did he say?
He said, I know that film. Oh. And my kids are like, it's a series.
Yeah. Oh. With Sinners, one, I love the movie because it really delves into a lot of the women and how important they are within the context of the movie, and her character provides so much mystery and backstory and sort of mythology around witchcraft, around African history as a whole. Her relationship with Smoke is the relationship you wouldn't. Yeah. I think people wouldn't expect her to have that relationship with Smoke, mm-hmm. but you could see the love and the connection and bond they had from the moment they locked eyes with each other. And you know, people have issues with, I think it's the fucking Gen Z's these days. They have issues with sex scenes in movies and TV shows, but I think sometimes it does add a layer of intimacy and connection to characters that you already know exist, but we didn't know there was going to be a sex scene in Sinners.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
But the fact that they hadn't seen each other for so long and the yearning for each other, it made so much sense within the context of the time. And I wish it was me.
I didn't know can you relate, but you got there first.
I wish it was me.
Is that what you want to cut as well? Keep.
We'll keep that.
I mean,
oh, why do we say that now? People know I cut something. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, but that's funny.
I mean, we actually can't keep it in. Not even for my sake. I just don't think it looks good for the pod. But hey, it's your pod, isn't it? It's up to you guys.
That one just then was fine. The first one has to be cut.
Which one?
The one that you just said now was fine.
Brother, please, let's.
What? I wish it was me.
Move on.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
We've said some crazy things on this.
Okay, let's move on.
Well done, man.
It's you.
I'm going to list some, and if you want to talk about it, feel free quickly. Michaela Cole, I know you're a big fan.
Shout out to Michaela. I think she's one of the greatest exports we ever had from this country.
Don't feel like you have to like rush, though, but yeah, okay, Michaela Cole, she deserves her grace, man.
Not only is she a wonderful actor and performer, she's also a really good writer. She obviously started off in theatre. She created, she wrote a play called Chewing Gum. I can't remember if that was the full name of the play when she first done it, but eventually turned into a
Chewing
TV
Gum,
show.
Yeah.
Eventually turned into TV show called Chewing Gum on Channel 4, where she essentially got her first break on television.
What's the one where she knocked back a lot of money for like integrity purposes?
I May Destroy You.
I May Destroy You, yeah.
Yeah, I May Destroy You, because it was such a personal story about things that she suffered and had to go through and her experience in getting over that. I think she's... I'm assuming she just wanted to hold it for herself as something personal. I mean, it is great TV. One of the best TV shows of the 2010s.
It genuinely gets a lot of accolades for that.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah.
It's one of the best TV shows.
Do you think that her talents, that's where her talents lie, by the way, in like the writing and not the acting? I'm saying that she's a good actor. But do you think she's a better writer than she's an actor?
I can't really say she's a better writer because I think, what's she written? So Chewing Gum, Chewing Gum, I May Destroy You. I'm not sure if she's got writing credits or Mother May.
Into the mic.
Yeah, oh, I'm moving around. I May Destroy You and Chewing Gum are the things that, most important things that she wrote, so I'm not too sure if I can compare it to her catalogue as an acting, because she's in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yep.
She's in
Black Panther.
She's good in that as well, by the way.
Yeah, Black Mirror as well. She's in two episodes of Black Mirror.
Yeah, so I can't really compare it right now, but maybe something in the future. But when you see something, when you can write something as good as I May Destroy You, there's a great level of talent there.
Sure.
And obviously also chewing gum. So I'm like, as a writer, she's amazing. If you write as short at that level, I think she's one of the greatest exports. Yeah. And I love the way she talks about the arts and filmmaking and writing, just so much passion and care that she takes in it. So I'm really happy for her to take her time to do whatever she needs to do, and always excited when she comes in with something new.
Cool. I'm just going to reel off some more names. Yeah. Chiwetel Ejiofor, just quickly, just goes without saying, but anything he's in, you just know you're going to get, even if it's like a shit franchise.
He's a journeyman.
But even if it's like a shit franchise, like he was in Venom last year, you just know he's still going to be all right in it. I'm sorry,
bro,
Chiwetel.
Bro, he's one of the guys, I think we said this recently, actually we were talking about what film was it, it was something, okay, Evan, I think I said to you, he'll give you a 7 out of 10 in every film, okay?
Yeah.
Like you, as in
utility,
like,
man,
yeah
he's an unbelievable utility man. If you look at his photography,
it's crazy.
He's been in he might be in the shittest franchise and in a great movie the next, like The Life of Chuck quite recently. He was really good in that. And then he will do a Venom. It's like, fucking hell, bro. You got to pay checks, I guess.
Cult films that Love actually he's in.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Super talented, man.
The Martian.
Him and Tom Hiddleston are
like
best buddies.
He's in The Martian.
He is, yeah.
And I know this has a bit of a following. 2012 he was in as well.
Okay. Oh yeah, he was good in 2012. Yeah. He plays that scientist like really well, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, he was in a film either this year or last year. Okay, where it was about like the pods where his wife and him had a kid through AI and stuff like that. Okay, he was dope in that with Emilia Clarke.
Yeah, the pod generation.
Yes. Yeah. He was dope in that as well, man. Honestly, bro. He's
Children of Men.
Yeah,
he's one of the. He's
12 years.
Just through like sheer longevity.
That's a lead.
Oh,
I'm talking about sheer longevity. American Gangster.
Just one of the greats.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like a small bit part role, but he's really good in that.
Four Brothers.
Let's continue through because we got to finish soon.
Yeah.
Lashana Lynch. Obviously, we spoke to her last year.
Love her, man.
Yeah,
Doja Cat and
love her, man. Love her, man. I actually think that she's gonna.
I think she's got so much room to improve as well.
Facts. Okay,
and I say that as like a compliment. I still think there's a lot of growth for her as an actor.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to probably seeing her in Doomsday, man. You know what I mean?
So, and I would actually like to see her. I think she gets put in a lot of roles where her characters aren't likable, and I love those characters.
Yeah.
I want to see something different. I do want to see her as a character that maybe there's a duality or there's more towards the other side where there's a bit, because I think in Dare the Jackal you end up rooting for the Jackal and against her. In James Bond she plays
007,
and it's like that kind of sets her up to fail, I think.
I see what you mean.
Talking about wanting to get Daniel Craig back.
Papa Seydou.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, fucking guy. I'm not gonna speak on it too much,
just great.
But it's amazing. He was in a theater show that I watched recently as well. This is England. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a favorite show at Soho Palace, the Tottenham Court Road. Absolutely smoked his performance.
No, I'm not surprised.
He's such a wonderful actor. What else has he been in recently? He was in I May Destroy You.
The last series I saw him in was Gangs Alone in Season 3, and then he was also in The Capture Season 2.
Yeah, The Capture, that's what I was thinking of. Cold in I May Destroy You. Like, he's another one that I'm really excited for whenever he does anything.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Yeah. No, I actually meant Gangs Alone in Season 2 because he doesn't make it to Season 3, but I'm sure. And then obviously Professor Snape's coming up for him, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Which I'm intrigued to see. I'm not going to look it off until I see it. I don't know.
The fan art, by the way, I saw this guy talk about it. It's just a black guy. Ever. He was like, guys, having a black guy play Snape is going to be so funny. Yeah, because also when Harry goes, something's sneaky about him. They're going to be like, oh no. For like, 2 episodes, okay, Harry has no proof that this guy's a waste man, yeah? But all he does is just be like, it's definitely him, you man, you know?
Yeah.
None of them made Professor Snape a black man. Harry's dad was definitely racist, by the way.
It changes so much. It changes so much, man. But
if they explore that, that's interesting. If they actually...
They won't do it, but...
They can't do that, bro.
It's HBO, though. That's the one thing I will say to you.
And it's not J.K. Rowling.
Yes, I mean, she's got huge influence.
Of course, material, yeah.
But it's HBO, and HBO have never been afraid to delve into like some of the most profound themes you'll see on TV from the early days of that Oz and The Wire and so on. Anyway, two other actors, Damson Idris, Snowfall, F1. I'm sure, I know he's been in.
Yeah, it's a bit wild. We left it that long.
Do you know why? Okay.
Go on.
Because Solo's not.
Controversial opinion? For me, he's still got loads to prove.
Really?
100%.
I'm with you with that.
I just, like, F1 for me didn't move me. He didn't move me. And you know, it's one of my favorite films. Yes.
No, he did. How can Brad Pitt move?
Yes,
bro?
He moved
Brad
me.
Brad, cold. Brad Pitt's performance.
He was cold. He was cold, man.
But he wasn't moving.
That was fine.
He wasn't moving.
The story doesn't
cold.
Even facilitate anything to move you.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like,
he's
it,
just
this film,
Brad Pitt.
It
was just fine.
I'm just saying. Okay, Damson didn't.
That's a fair point.
He was good. I don't think he was great.
He played his role.
He played his role, and he was good. Whereas I feel like you give that role to David Johnson, we're feeling something different here. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? Okay,
but the story doesn't facilitate. I get you. I just don't. If you're gonna say that about him, which I thought he was fine, Brad Pitt was fine too. He didn't do anything spectacular.
Cool, that's cool. I'll take that. Okay,
I think that Brad Pitt, he brought some sort of charm to that like role as well.
But that's what we expect.
That's just a byproduct of Brad Pitt. Isn't
it?
Which then
that's still it's him bringing it. So you know what?
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
But yeah, I think
I said charm. I guess another word that would piss you off.
But I do
you're
think
12, you know. that's your life, people call you.
Yeah,
I've seen season one of Snowfall.
He's really good.
He's fantastic.
He's
in Snowfall.
Unbelievable. Okay. Snowfall.
Yeah, but then what?
You want to see more?
Yes, I want to see more because what I was saying to Yaz, okay, was like, why do I like him better when he's putting on an I'll say American accent? That shouldn't be it for me, bro. Do you get me? Okay, and I just need to see like a little bit more depth for the roles that he's picking, or just like the way he's acting. I'm not sure what it is yet.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the roles,
just more roles, more roles. See him in more movies as well because we've seen him do the TV thing. Snowfall's one of the defining shows of the 2010s, whether you loved it or not. I think it's a good series.
It's a very good series.
It's definitely like a defining series which draws from the lineage of The Wire. Mm-hmm. Literally his character and just Stringer, you could argue there's some similarities and crossover there, and then the themes of both shows, you could argue there's a crossover as well.
Yeah.
So now it's the next step, and again, he's what, mid-30s? He's got lots of time to do so.
Yeah. Fuck with him though.
I think he's got it. And lastly, Letitia Wright, man.
Thank God.
I think it's a good way to close because that was our first junket.
Yeah, it was.
And we've interviewed her three times now?
What was the third time?
Jason spoke to her.
Me and Jason spoke to her for Surrounded.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was it.
Twice. Yeah, she's a big friend of the show.
Yeah, she is.
A big friend of the show.
I'm seeing her next week.
Yes. Yaz went to go see her show actually last week, which I'm assuming that's what you're talking about, right? She's just done a short film as well, okay?
Yeah.
That has come out and got like a few critic awards and, you know, etc. So she, you know, she's done well there. I feel like she is a walking like art form. Like, I feel like she's very open to anything, you know, as long as it makes sense. There was a thing that she done. There was a film that she done last year with Tamara Lawrence. I forgot what the film was called, but it was freaking breathtaking.
Talking about Silent Twins.
Yes. Really good. Honestly, really, really good. And what I love about that, okay, was that she done that after Panther. You know what I'm saying? Okay, she just became Black Panther. And then was like,
yeah, 2022.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, safe. Let me go and do this.
Yeah,
like,
you can tell that, you know, she loves the
arts. Indie. Yeah. So yeah. So like, for me, like, I'm excited to see what she does moving forward. I'm happy with what she's done previously. Obviously, Top Boy and Black Mirror.
I saw in theater a few years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It's called The Convent.
Yeah,
Convent. I can't remember the play. It was written by I think her name is Danny. Black babes in Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
What's the name?
I haven't seen Walking Dead, but Walking I know you're Dead. Talking about.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, she wrote
the
a
girl
play.
With the dreads, right?
Yes, she wrote a play, and Letitia Wright started it a few years back. Also, have you heard her talk recently as to why she's gotten into directing?
No, don't. Please go on.
So she mentioned that it was first Ryan Coogler who said to her, "Oh, I think you'd be a good director," and she's like, "No, I wouldn't." Really? Like, well, what are you talking about? Yeah, so like, I might not. She thought that she wasn't ready for that level of responsibility because she saw how much work that Ryan Coogler has to do, and said like, oh, that might not be for me. And then Denzel Washington told her the same thing. Said like, I think you'll be a good director. And then she's like, all right then. And now she started.
Denzel says it. Then Denzel says,
yeah. When a goat tells you, yo, do this, you're like, you know what? I can do it.
Yeah.
So now she started directing, and hence why the film festival, film that she got out there is her as a director. So yeah,
big up Harman.
Shout out to everyone we've mentioned today and everyone that we haven't. It's not a oversight thing. It's more of, I think also things that we've either related to or seen, which helps then decide who we speak about today for sure.
Also a time thing.
Yeah.
And then the time constraint, because, you know, we like to talk a lot. but yeah, we're the Post Credit Scene Podcast. It's been a really enjoyable episode today. Make sure you check out all of our content on YouTube. Firstly, full episodes on there. Mm-hmm. So make sure you subscribe. It's important to do so. Especially if you like the content. More so, like, if you enjoy what we do. Don't just subscribe because, like, we tell you to. If you enjoy it, subscribe. Make sure you drop a like on the videos. Hit the bell so you can know when we're dropping videos next, for sure. Bing. Follow us on TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast. Instagram, same thing. You can check out our social clips where we give you the best bits of the episodes. Make sure you follow the individual guys here as well on their platforms. Shout out to the producers today, Jason and Kiz. And that's us giving you an over and out.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.